Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-hosts Glenn Martin and DK in the background, as always, running the show. We are excited to be here on a Tuesday night, as always, hanging out with you guys, talking about our one and only Baltimore Ravens. So looking forward tonight, Glenn, to getting into a lot of stuff. Of course, we got Cole Jackson coming on. I'm excited to break down, get his thoughts on the game, but also talk about the O-line, talk about injuries, talk about playoff scenarios. We're getting all that stuff tonight. Any news and notes as well. But Glenn, how are you doing this evening on a Tuesday night?
Oh man, I'm so excited. I mean, we talked about it before the show. We will certainly be in the building if and when an AFC championship is being held at M&T Bank Stadium.
It is official, so, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we will be in the building. Woo! So if you're going to be there, we'll certainly try and make a point to link up with anybody who's in the building. But yeah, excited. Cannot wait. Every week, Jimbo, I say, what can they come up with next? Like, what can the naysayers and haters come up with next? And daggum it, if I can't think of it, they somehow always do. Like, I can't even. So I'm like, hey, what are they going to think of this week? I'm like, they can't say anything, right? I mean, you know, the guys that the people who wanted numbers from Lamar, you know, he gave you what you've been asking for. He gave you they still use mental gymnastics to somehow find a way to discredit to. And then, of course, the fallback, the last thing you, the only thing you need to have or in the back pocket, all these guys have is doing the playoffs. So it's like, you know, I just can't wait for that argument to be done, because then, I mean, I guess they'll come up with something else, but at least it'll be original.
Yeah, it's going to then become, oh, he's not Brady. Like,
he's only got one. Yeah, it'll be something.
You know what I mean? If it's not one thing, it's not the other. But yeah, it never ends. And the logic of people's arguments keeps getting looser and looser. It's, as a great scientist once said, it's like they're trying to build a couch with a box of matches. Just doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. You can't prop up a box of matches and tell me it's a sofa that I can sit on.
That's right.
Okay. Now, yeah, like you said, Glenn, we're going to get into a whole ton of stuff tonight. Look, they just keep adding fuel to the Ravens' fire, and we're here for it. And of course, we're going to break it down. But I think it is appropriate to bring in Cole Jackson. We'll tag him in and not leave him hanging out in the background, swiveling back and forth in his chair. I can tell he's excited, ready to go. Cole, what's up, man? How are you doing?
I just remember back the bye week episode we did here, boys, and we said, holy shit, look at that schedule. And then we went through and we just kind of crip walked it down. Easy money, boys. Easy money. Number one. You love it.
How awesome.
This seed could not have come at a better time. This team is so, I think almost, there's about eight guys with torn pecs. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
In the titty game with the Baltimore Ravens, but they're all torn. I don't get it.
It really is. Both linebackers, right?
Yeah, Roquan Smith. I shouldn't say it's torn. I don't know if it's torn, but he has a pec injury. Morgan Moses is either a pec injury or a labrum. I've heard both stories, but it explains why they're doing that rotation. So just nonstop. So just giving these guys time. I know that we'll probably get into it, the rest versus rest, but these guys getting healthy going into a first round matchup, crucial, absolutely crucial.
Yep. No doubt. And also it doesn't hurt that we're the only team in the AFC getting that. Not like the old days where two teams would get it. Couldn't come at a better time. It's definitely, we're going to get into some of the differences, I think, at some point today between this and the 2019 season, which it does have, record similarity, same last opponent, but there's an awful lot of differences as well. And I think health is one of them. So it is much needed, like you mentioned. But, Cole, I'm excited to get your take on a lot of things, because there was a lot to take in last week. I got a bunch of questions jotted down. So I know you put in a lot of work studying the film. The first place I'm going to start off is Big Ben Cleveland, Big Country. Look, we're starting to see that maybe, just maybe, he just can't play left guard. And that maybe he's just a damn right guard. So how did he look? And I know, to an average fan, he looked great. And I know it can somehow look different with type of help he gets from guys around him. So I'm excited to have you. And also, does he look like maybe the cheaper option for next year? Is the drop off from Zeitler to him that steep?
Yeah, so it was one of those things, and I tweeted out last night, and a bunch of people thought I was being negative, and I really wasn't. It was just an observation. So I was going through, and I went basically my process when I'm clipping plays, I'll watch, and you know, I'm trying to pick key themes, and then I'm trying to pick, you know, 7-8 clips of a theme that I'd want to do a video on. Usually, if you guys watch my videos, 7 to 10 clips per topic. And so I go into this one, I'm like, I'm definitely going to be doing a Ben Cleveland video. And I pull, you know, a number of his run plays. I pulled about, I think I had up to, and I always label them Cleveland run one, Cleveland run two. So I was up to like 6 trying to grab his pass plays. Because that was what I really wanted to see. He's always going to be a pretty average run blocker. He's just, he looks like a mauler, but he doesn't play like one. He gets into a number of reps where he gets leverage, stands guys up, and he just doesn't drive them. He doesn't really seem to have that killer mentality. We've seen him do it a few times, and when he does it, it's good, but it's just not consistent. So, you know, in the run game, I thought he did well, you know, ran alleys really well. He was really good in outside zone concepts. That goes back to his Georgia tape, you know, when he was actually playing under Munkin, something he did well, and he's just more of a finesse blocker despite being 6'6", 356 or whatever ridiculous size he is. So that was all good. But then I'm doing his pass blocking reps, and I saw Coach Evans, Sip to Tally YouTube channel, put out a video, and same observation as me. He just didn't really have a lot of true pass sets where he's one-on-one. They had Tyler sliding to him nonstop. Interestingly enough, it was one of John Simpson's worst games in terms of pressure allowed. And what that tells me is, and I mean, it's not what it tells me, what I've seen a number of times and I've tweeted it, is John Simpson's constantly getting help from Tyler Linderbaum, the same way Ben Powers was always getting constant help from Tyler Linderbaum. What that does is it asks Kevin Zeitler to go out there and pass block one-on-one constantly. Mm-hmm. So they're going to, you know, stress their, you know, Pro Bowl potential right guard, who excels as a pass pro, to help John Simpson. This week they help Cleveland and kind of leave John Simpson out there one-on-one quite a bit. And he gives up, I think it was the second most pressures of the year. So I thought that was really interesting, but they just didn't really give him an opportunity to showcase his development in terms of pass pro. You know, everything was either a play action slide or it was, you know, working a double with Linderbaum or working a double with one of the tackles. So that was super disappointing for me to see. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things where, can he get there? Sure. He's got a bunch of those pieces that I think could make a really good offensive guard in the National Football League. But I don't know. Kevin Zeitler's been so damn good. He went out there, did it again this year. You know, Linderbaum's looking like the stud that we all thought he could be. They're going to have that uncertainty at left guard. I do agree that he's better at right guard than left guard, but I'm probably trying to lean towards bringing back Kevin Zeitler for another year.
Mm. That's interesting to hear, because I know that Glenn and I certainly wanted to get into that as well. You know, if you're disappointed by some of the opportunities to break down his film, you're going to get an opportunity this weekend.
That's right.
You know, you get another
opportunity. And it's going to be Sam Mustafa in there. So we're probably going to see a more throwback game where it's not going to be kind of one way or the other. It's going to be a lot of different looks. And these games are, I love, it's like doing a preseason game. I love doing preseason games because there's so many guys to take a look at, so many themes you can kind of latch onto. Mm-hmm. And I don't want this to be taken as, I thought Ben Cleveland played bad, because he didn't. He did his job.
There wasn't just enough for you to make a conclusive decision. Like,
it's just like, you know,
a lot of confidence from the coaches, though.
He definitely didn't get a lot of confidence from the coaches, but in situations where he was one-on-one, he won. He didn't give up pressure. Okay. And he did his job when working doubles. And like, that's all you can do. You can go out there and you just execute the plays given to you. So it's not, and that's why I was kind of laughing last night when people were like, why are you hating on Ben Cleveland? I'm like, it's just telling you what's going on. Like, it's just, you can't break down what doesn't exist. So it was just one of those things where I think the context matters. You know, he gave up 0 pressures. He also just had a limited role in terms of the pass protection scheme that they called, just the facts.
Yeah. Now I got a question for you, Cole. And that's regarding our run attack. Actually, I have a more important, not this more important, but I have a question I want to ask you before Glenn steals it from me. That's really what it's about. So this rotation thing, if you know anything about the local radio, some folks around here, like, say, if you got 4 tackles, you got none. But it seems to be working.
What does that mean?
You got in the rotation, like, the, because they're doing the, you know, the rotation on the outside. So
They got four tackles good enough to be playing football.
That's the way that we said it. That's the way we reacted immediately, because Glenn said exactly what I was thinking. The defensive line rotates. Like, why is it so far-fetched for the O-line to rotate? But really,
I won't lie to you. Take on that. Weird. You don't see it. Like, right. You know,
are we big-braining people around here?
Yeah, Cole? What's your take on it? How do you think it's been working? Like, you know,
oh, you're no lineman yourself, Cole. I mean,
it was the 90s Dolphins or the 90s 49ers. I can't remember which team. They used to do it a lot, and it was kind of their thing. And I it's hard to explain. We've seen it a number of times. We saw last year when Zeitler got hurt, they had Cologne and Cleveland rotating at right guard through that one game. You know, we've seen it with McCary working in at, I'm trying to remember which position it was. McCary did it last year at one point when he was filling in. We had it with, who's the big dude that was a tackle guard for us? DJ Fluker did it with.
What's his name?
Tyree Phillips at right tackle that year. That was the year they lost to the Bills in the playoffs, 21. So, I mean, we've seen it a number of times. It's kind of a Joe DeLisandris thing, who's the Ravens offensive line coach. I think it's just one of those things where they want to keep guys ready. And what this is, why they're doing it is, again, Morgan Moses is playing with either a torn pec or torn labrum. We'll find out for sure at the end of the year. So he's hurt. Like, and they're just working on, that's not going to get better. It's like Marcus Williams. He's going to be playing with one arm for the rest of the year, and you're just going to have to live with the limitations. So they're just trying to pain management. So they're going to bring in Daniel Falele and just ask him to play 10, 15 snaps, give him two drives off, and just kind of, but it is weird. Like, I'm not saying it's not abnormal. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. Until the last couple of years with the Ravens, and every time they've done it, I'm like, that's so weird that they're doing it. And it's the same thing with Ronnie Stanley on the left side, where he's, you know, his knee is not right, and they're just trying to get him through games, keep him healthy enough to keep playing games. So it is odd. Is it working? Yeah. I mean, they've got McCary and Falele at a point now where they're coming into these games being ready to play snaps, and that is not easy to do. But it really is a testament to the way they're preparing these guys. And I think it's great. Like, it comes down to, because the reason you don't want to do it is you don't want to bring a guy in cold to take, you know, reps against Nick Bosa, right? Like, that's and there's also, you know, the game within the game, the pass rush matchup. So from the offensive line perspective, it can help you, because now you're kind of mixing up looks to that defensive lineman. It's just probably rare, because it's so hard to have backups that are good enough to be able to trust in those situations. So that's why I just got to laugh when it's four tackles means none. It's like, no, four tackles means there's four tackles you're able to play in an NFL game. Mm-hmm. And not like it's been working in the sense that they haven't had tackle problems in 3 weeks. And they've played good D lines. It's not that they're playing against a bunch of nobodies. You know, they just played against Bradley Chubb. Unfortunately, he got hurt at the end of the game. But the week before, they played against one of the best D lines in football, and there was no issues with the offensive tackles. So, I mean, that's just, you know, I know those guys over at 105.7 think they're big brains, but it's, you know, they just look silly, but anyway.
That's right. That's right.
Wait, can I ask one follow-up, Glenn?
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about the progression of Daniel Falele when he's in there and his game as a whole?
Yeah, it's gotten a little bit better. I'm still having a hard time seeing him as kind of a long-term starter unless he really gets his quickness up. He's just too slow. It's with the way Todd Monken wants to use these five-man protections. He was a Greg Roman guy, you know, in that type of scheme where they're going to play out a heavy. He's going to have a tight end beside him. There, he's going to be able to get the chip help. I think that all made sense, but he just has to get lighter on his feet and quicker, and I just haven't seen him kind of take that next step. He's getting a little bit better getting off the snap, and that's helping him a ton because he has great length, but I still want to see a little bit more. But, I mean, that's one of these things. Don't count out these guys. You know, we've seen a number of guys that were fourth-round picks that kind of get into year three, year four, and really take a huge step to being a starter. So not discounting them at all. But that's really where I want to see the next step come from.
No doubt. Yeah. That would be huge for the Ravens if he can take that big leap next year. Mm-hmm. You know, when a couple weeks ago, I think while excited, there was a bit of a gray cloud in Baltimore when Keaton Mitchell went down. We lost that explosiveness in the backfield. And I think people were wondering, are we going to see more of Melvin Gordon, or will Justice Hill role expand? And man, one of the unsung heroes. I mean, he obviously got the touchdown. He's going to get some love, but that early third down and 15 was absolutely crucial. Turned a short little dump down into a huge first down. What'd you see from Justice Hill, and how much confidence do you have going into the postseason knowing that he's your number two back?
I saw Hey Diddle Diddle Justice Hill up the middle. And happening in the game where they're doing Ray Rice as the legend of the game, regardless of your opinion on that, it was pretty interesting to see. Yeah. So Justice Hill's been, even going back to early in the season when the fumble problems kind of popped up, he was a spark plug early, right? When Keaton Mitchell wasn't playing, he was the number two, and he was expected to be kind of the lightning to Gus Edwards' thunder, right? Mm-hmm. And then he lost a little bit of his favor because he had those fumble issues. And now he's back, and he's still kind of popping runs, right? Like, that's been his value add. And he plays a very similar style as Keaton Mitchell, where he's going to be that kind of speedster, the guy you can get to the edge, the guy you can get out in the pass game. And what I think is where he took his big step in playing time was his pass protection took – not just, I don't even want to say it took a leap. It took like a, what would you even, like a frog jump? Is that a bigger jump than a leap?
It's like hitting a balloon. It's like hitting the redeploy balloon in Warzone.
That's a good way of putting it. You know? I got nothing better. But it just, like, his pass pro, he's been physical. He's made better reads, and they've trusted him in those scenarios. And that's where, you know, they weren't, even before when you had Keaton Mitchell playing, you still had Justice Hill playing those third down pass pro reps. So they were trying to work him in to do that. Now they're giving him these opportunities because Keaton Mitchell goes out and he turns around and does exactly what you want to see. And that includes the kick return, right? He's just going to be, it reminds me of a guy like Jacoby Jones in 2012, where he wasn't the go-to target. He wasn't the, but he was a big time playmaker, right? When they needed it on special teams, on offense, you know, the kind of guy that, you know, just can kind of come out of nowhere and pop a big one for you. And he made several in that run. It wasn't just one or two, it was several. So that's the type of role you got to hope you can get out of Justice Hill, where he's not going to necessarily be kind of a bell cow. You're not going to see him maybe the same amount every single week, but when the ball gets in his hand, he's going to make something good happen with that explosive speed that he possesses.
Yeah, man, I'm excited about Justice Hill. He looked, just like you said, I mean, he looked, it felt like Keaton was back there with that run off to the left when he
that
really
wheel route just, that wheel route for the tutty.
Yeah. Woo!
It looked so good the first time they went back to it and just had to change up, make the pick route a little bit more believable. but yeah, that was
exact same play too. Yeah.
Now, the other question I ask is, and we're going to get into this, you know, the injury portion of where the Ravens are at. What guys, you know, as far as the guys that are banged up and we're hoping to get back, is there a guy or two, or
I'm gonna write it down, Cole.
Yeah, that have you one most concerned, two, do you have any updates for us maybe you could provide?
Trying to think of what folks know.
Michael Pierce went out with the head at the same time Worley, right?
Yeah, I don't really see any long term. I don't see anything impacting the playoff game. Okay. I don't see anything impacting the playoff game from Marlin, Stevens. Those guys are all going to be back. Zeitler's going to be back.
Hamilton's
the one where he was really not moving well on Wednesday when he tried to practice. And he didn't even come out to try and play in this one. So I would say that's where my biggest concern is, but that's not necessarily like, I don't really have any inside information on, he suffered a setback. I saw that kind of speculated on a few times. I haven't heard anything like that. I just think he was like really banged up after that game against the 49ers. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, he gets now like almost 20 days to kind of get right. So that's going to be huge, because you saw the way the Dolphins attacked the flats. They went right into Kyle Hamilton's office and tried to cause shit until the Ravens defense adjusted. So, you know, we need him back. So I'd say that's where my biggest concern is, just because he's so important. He's almost, I'd put him up there as the MVP of the defense because of everything he does. But I think the rest of them, including Marlon Humphrey, they're all going to be fine as far as I know from this game. I'm expecting a pretty healthy injury report going into that playoff practice week.
Wow. That is certainly encouraging to heal. Let's see. Don C says, Cole, what was up with all the deep shots in the Miami game? Was it scheme, blown coverage, Eli Apple, or a revenge game? And I'm glad Don asked this because, yeah, like, everyone was wide open. Likely was wide open on a play. Ricard wide open. Flowers. Hill was open twice, wide open. Bateman had the drop when he was what? How is all these guys wide open, Cole?
Well, the play where we cooked Eli Apple, which just, God, it just tastes just like sweet apple pie. It was just, that was a really unique play. So what they did is they had Lamar drop back as if he was going to roll out left. So he was actually holding the ball to his left. And then he had to flip his hips and come back to the right. And what they did is they motioned Zay Flowers down to that side of the formation where they started with a one by one. Zay motions down. Now you have a two strong on that side. And there was just a communication error between Eli Apple and the other DB on that side. They both took the inside man and Zay just kind of was like wide open. So it was kind of two things. I think they reacted to Lamar starting left, looking like he was going to roll out to the left. And I think they also just had a miscommunication. So that was just a blown coverage. Pretty common with Eli Apple though. In terms of the Isaiah Likely and Pat Ricard touchdowns, two of my favorite plays, both were the exact same. They used chip releases where they ran three-man route concepts to the wide side of the field. The defense completely flooded. I asked a couple of the reporters if they can, you know, get a word into someone like Monken, because I want to know if that was the game plan or if that was a check down, because the defense completely flooded to that side. And on both of them, they just chipped, stayed in as a blocker, and then leaked out to the opposite side of the route concepts, and they were just wide open. So they must have seen something on film where, you know, if we flood one side, it's going to pull their entire defense, because they were in zone coverage both times. One of them was cover three. Jalen Ramsey was the cover three defender on the touchdown side. It was Likely's. And Charlie Kolar was the tight end on the side where Likely ended up. And he just ran kind of an in-breaking route, and it pulled Ramsey from the entire other side of the field. So now you got your whole defense on one side of the field and nobody on the other side. And then they did it again with Pat Ricard. So it's one of those things where Monken or the offensive coaching staff saw something on film and game planned around it. And it was just a thing of beauty to do in the red zone. So that was, you know, specifically why those two guys were running wide open. But what's up with the deep shots? I think that's an interesting one, because it's somewhere we were struggling with. But I really don't think that it's one of those, you can't take the deep shots out of this offense. The whole, and this even goes back to Greg Roman's offense, and they're not the same. They're not the same at all. But the power of Lamar Jackson and the run game is that it's going to spread a defense horizontally because of the number of ways that they can attack you, the way that the option concepts can attack you. And when you can spread a defense horizontally, the best way to attack them is vertically. So there, you can't take the deep shots out of this offense. It will not work. You need to take them. And to the Ravens' credit, and I think Todd Monken had a quote about this like 6-7 weeks ago, where he said, we're going to keep going to the well. And what he meant was like, I'm implementing the scheme and we're going to keep doing it until we're successful. We're not going to kind of shy away from a concept because it's not working.
As long as it's not a vault.
Yeah, no, there was no vault. No vault. There might have been a vault.
I like the well. Combination. Yeah, I like that better than a vault.
Yeah, until everyone's then asking to throw Todd Monken down the well. But, you know, I love it. I love how they've kind of stayed true to their identity. And, you know, credit to the players. Again, it's kind of like what was going on defense. You know, they've been taking those deep shots, and Lamar is just so much more consistent. And now his receivers just got to kind of keep doing their thing. You know, a guy like Bateman's got to be able to connect on those too. There's things he's doing that he needs to do better. But, you know, I think they're going to get there.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask another question for you, Cole. And this is not necessarily related to the on-the-field stuff, but I know Brent Urban's your guy. He's a fellow Canadian. Have either of you seen any of the clips from Wired, from the Ravens Wired?
Yeah.
With the smelling salts?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the smelling salts. Oh my God. I saw him and Pierce. They're homies.
Smelling salts. Huffing it.
Dude, he just hits it as many times as he physically can as if he's sneezing. He's like, and then he just screams at the top of his lungs for like 20 seconds.
Is that what it was? I saw him screaming, but I didn't. Okay, I missed the smelling salts.
And I'm pretty sure he does it. It looks like he does it before every drive.
Dude, I mean, he's a way too guy, much, right? Dude. He's a hockey guy.
So
I've never ever smelled that before, and I'm considering carrying it in a pack for a long race when I'm in a really desperate situation.
That is what you need,
dude. Next level. Put it in your fanny pack, dude.
Dude, imagine me just out there screaming.
Dude, imagine the fear you're putting in the guys in front of you. The fear,
right at the starting line. Can you imagine?
No, Jimmy won't be screaming. He'll be running. He'll just, caw-caw, caw-caw, caw-caw.
I'm just gonna fly, dude. I'll just straight up get air. Like, I'll just take off. No, but yeah, I thought that was freaking hilarious, man. Now, Cole, we got into this discussion too before we let you go as well. What is your take? Rest, rust. My take is simple: is that if John plays these guys and someone gets hurt, his head's in a guillotine. Like, I would rather risk rust than risk injury. That's how I see it. What say you, my friend?
So anybody with any sort of owie wowie sits.
Owie wowie.
You know, there's no need to be playing through any sort of injury, playing through pain in this one. It just doesn't make sense. This is an opportunity to give your twos reps. I think that's a huge piece because who knows, someone might go down and you might need those reps to, you know, kind of pay off for you in the playoffs where a guy's got to, you know, think of a guy like Trenton Simpson, right? You know, you kind of saw him at the end of the game. Haven't seen much of him this year. I'd love to see a full game of him after he's been, you know, around the team for a year. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys play. Queen and Rowe both banged up. I'd sit them both. Like, I mean, they'll be active, but I wouldn't really be playing them. I'm not really a big believer in the rust. Like, I just think, I don't know, like, these guys practice every week. You know, is one game against the Pittsburgh Steelers? It's hard to kind of rationalize in my head. So, you know, if Lamar does play in this one, or if the starting offense does play in this one, preseason approach, quick passes, no does QB design runs, like all the obvious stuff. But I don't really buy into the, and like, this is what I love about the Kelce's podcast, right? Because we can kind of hear these two, they're currently playing, kind of be pretty real when they talk. And it was just interesting, you know, all the fans are like, I don't even really want the bye because, you know, what happened in 2006 and 2012 or 2019? And then you hear Jason Kelce's like, you want that bye. And then Travis Kelce's like, fuck yeah, you want that bye. And it's like, these guys are the actual players that have been there. You know, let's maybe listen to them. So I think the players getting that week off, I think it's important to them. It really comes down to the coaching staff making sure everybody's ready. You know, we did hear John Harbaugh say if he had the opportunity to redo 2019, he would do it differently. Does that mean he'd redo week 18 differently, which was week 17 back then? Or does that mean that he would redo, you know, the practice week leading into it? What does that mean? We're going to find out. I really just wouldn't risk the injuries. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see who's inactive, but then also who's technically active, but just standing on the sideline, holding their helmet. I think, do you ever think that ego could play a part in this, Cole? Like, if you're a guy who's forced to play, do you ever go, why is that guy so important? He doesn't have to play, but I have to play. Any of that, any egos on this team?
I can't see it in this locker room. All these guys seem so tight. Like, everything, you know, you saw Joe Zina tweet it back in the summer. And then just, you know, and maybe this is probably maybe one of those things that every locker room's happy when you're winning, right? Like, you know, 2019, everybody was happy. They were dancing on teams. But, you know, you kind of heard the vibe felt differently, and it's really felt that way, especially the way they've bounced back from adversity. It hasn't really been a huge issue. The other thing I'd throw out there, and
if you tell me first half, Cole, if you tell me they're playing the first half.
No, I'm just like, I think of a guy, you know, like a guy that's kind of wreaked havoc on the injury situation, like a TJ Watt. I don't really want TJ Watt.
Yeah, we've been talking about this.
Especially if it's against Falele, who's probably going to play over Moses.
He'll punch you, lower your IQ permanently.
So who are you going to put at right tackle?
Well, Falele is going to play this whole game. Like,
oh,
that,
I see what you're saying. Okay.
The old line's going to probably be, if it's me, it's McCary, it's Salah. I'd love to see a game of him. Mustafa. It's Cleveland, and it's Falele. That'd be my O-line. I don't want Lamar behind that O-line going against Highsmith. And these guys are playing for something. That's the other thing. Like, they're playing for something. They're going to be chomping at the bit because they're trying to keep their season alive. And Mike Tomlin's one of those coaches like Harbaugh. He's going to have them ready to come in and win this game.
For sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're on the side of rest and not rust. I'm looking forward to a stress-free Sunday and ramping up for that.
I'm hopping on the treadmill. I'm just going to hop on the treadmill with the game on and just vibe out.
Dude, you got to up your tempo during commercials.
Why?
It really makes you hate the NFL for how long commercials.
I never thought, man, did you guys watch college football yesterday?
Dude. Way to make up for all the garbage-ass bowls that have been happening. Holy smokes. Well,
that, not yeah. only that, but the amount of commercials. My God.
Oh, well, yeah.
I just were good games. I don't know what it was about yesterday. It just felt way worse than usual. I think I'm just getting old.
I think we're all getting old. I think that's definitely part of it. Hey, what team scares you the most in the AFC heading into the playoffs? Who do you not want to see the most if there is a team?
Joey Flacco and the Browns?
It's the Bills because that offense can be special. Mm-hmm. I actually think the Browns are a really fair one, and it's mostly because playing a team three times in 1 year, they know you. They know your DNA, but it kind of works both ways, right? The thing is, that Browns defense is elite, and that's just where anytime I can avoid an elite unit, I'd rather do that. Just like I'd rather avoid a top three quarterback in Josh Allen. I'm not worried about Joe Flacco has been such a fun story. I think he should be comeback player of the year. It's so fun. And I hate the Browns with every ounce in me. Hate their fans, hate everything about them. Such a shitty city. I hate them. But Joe Flacco I'm not scared of Joe Flacco. Like, come on, people. It's what we have done these last 4 weeks against top quarterbacks. We've ran the gauntlet against these offenses. Mm-hmm. Stafford's a guy that actually should be probably in the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that. That's not the part that worries me. It's that defense. It's Myles Garrett. They got playmakers all over that defense, and I'd rather not. But it's probably the Bills for me. I want to see the Dolphins lose just because it's funny, but I also kind of want to see the Bills lose just so they're not in the playoffs. Like, that would be an ideal situation to me.
No, I can get behind both of those teams. I maybe am a little more nervous of a playoff battle tested Joe Flacco. But to your point, I totally agree. Glenn and I talked about this when we, just like you said, Cole, when we looked at that schedule going to the end of the season, you know, we thought it was best to go through it. Give us the hardest schedule. So that way we can turn around and use those just like you did, like psychologically to say, look what we just did. Like, this is not, we can handle business here because we've already been there. We've done that. And it's really about us, not about the other team. So I'm happy about that. Happy that we're through the brutal part at this
point. You know, we're playing Cleveland, right? Like, we're going to
for sure.
It's going to work out that way.
It's going to be Baltimore, Cleveland, and it's going to be Buffalo, Casey. That's the way it's going
to
go.
And also, two Ravens drafted quarterbacks. One will be MVP, one will be comeback player of the year. How crazy is that after people saying that the Ravens just couldn't get it right at quarterback for all these years?
Joe gets comeback player of the year even though he came back so late?
I think they're gonna. If I had to vote, if I had to bet on it, I would probably say DeMar Hamlin's gonna win it because the NFL wants that media attention to it. So, no disrespect to Hamlin, I mean, he's been a great story. No disrespect at all, but like, to kind of your comeback player barely plays, it's just not that insightful of a story. Whereas, you know, a guy like Joe comes in off the couch, beer gut and all. You know, flying around Ohio looking for a team to hire him, and then he just gets out there and starts fucking slinging touchdowns. It's been nuts. It's nuts to watch. So for me, it's Joe Flacco.
It's gonna be interesting to see how that works out.
I mean, I don't know how many games has DeMar been active. I think it's a great story, but he's had he's already been, you know, the focus of a lot of attention. So I think you got to give it to the guy who actually plays. But
a lot of guys with dad bods watching this game looking up to Joe Flacco right now.
I tried to run my 40 today. I just wanted to see where I was at, you know, so get ready.
I think you might be able to beat Joe in that. I think you got him, Cole.
Yeah, I think so. He looks like a long strider to me.
I got little legs. I'm only 5'8".
See, so you got him in the 40. Now 100 might be a different story, but the 40, I think you got him.
Well, Cole, I know you'll be rooting him on this weekend and certainly into the playoffs. Thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to talk to you next week, and go Ravens.
Yeah, man. And of course, folks, make sure you check out Rogue Raiders on YouTube. Follow Cole at Cole Jackson FB on Twitter. It's a great follow. If you want to learn a thing or two about the game, want to learn more about your Ravens, check them out.
And just have a fun follow. I mean, is anyone more entertaining than Cole Jackson on Twitter? I don't think so.
Yeah, shit talk, I'm your guy.
Last thing, Cole, was it quarterbacky enough? Was it quarterbacky enough for you this weekend in Baltimore?
It was so quarterbacky, I didn't even know what to do with myself. I know, that was That was fucking nuts. Like, let's just be real about that. I've never seen such thinly veiled racism. So
thank you.
Casually.
I had not Glenn. It wasn't anybody on the show. I had people trying to justify this away.
No,
dude, stop it. Call it what it is.
I'm sitting there watching it. It's like, come on. Like, it's just, it was so blatant. Like, I don't like them. I want my quarterback more quarterbacky.
Some reporters, like, you mean can't
white?
Let freestyle.
You want your quarterback white? Like, what?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. You can't let some reporters freestyle, man. Not
that was
all
number one trending for a while. Like, quarterbacky.
LeBron James tweeted it. Like,
dude,
what the fuck is going on?
And she's in hiding, by the way.
Listen, I don't care what anyone says. People are always like, any publicity is good publicity. No. That is not good publicity. That's not something you want to be known for. Like, come on. No. And the fact that it came on Fox Sports, just too funny. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, Cole. Well, have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you
next week. Peace out, everyone.
See ya.
Yes.
Is it going to work? Is it going to work?
It took too long. There you go. Mark R. says, we all loved Ingram, but doesn't it feel a lot better going in with Roquan as the leader and his pissed off mentality rather than all the dancing in 2019? Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Mark Ingram. I love anybody at that level that can champion another person, can hype another person. When, let's be honest, Jimbo, even when we were growing up in athletics, it was not common for even your teammates to hype you up the way he hyped up another man. Like, even your teammates you're competitive with. Like, I love what Ingram brought to this team. This hooray for the guy next to me, the champion, your teammate, I think is a hugely underrated part of a successful locker room. Not to say these guys don't do it, but I don't want to disrespect what Ingram brought to the team. But certainly Roquan, his leadership, his mentality down the stretch of a football game inspires everyone around him. So I somewhat agree with you, but man, I love what Mark brought to this team.
Yeah, it's not that I minded Mark. It's just that I like this better.
Gotcha.
If I had to choose one leadership style to another, if you considered Mark the leader, but this is the biggest difference to me, Mark R, is simply that Lamar Jackson is a more mature, present leader.
Yeah.
Like, he's taken things and you can quickly tell when someone is in a situation where every step, every moment is all that they're thinking about, right? Like, that's all it is. And you can really see that in Lamar Jackson in comparison to 19, where I think it was different. He was young, he was going through it, and you know, he's so much more prepared. So I think that's really the difference. As much as Roquan is a difference maker, Lamar's whole persona is the difference, I think, in my opinion. This is the other thing. We talked about it, and you guys have all seen the clip of John dancing like Ted Lasso. John might be a better dancer than Ted Lasso. Just a little bit.
Dang,
just
poor
a little
Ted.
Bit. Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you what is impressive is the bend on those knees at his age, dude. The flexibility he was showing was impressive.
Oh, John, look, dude, mobility is longevity, baby. That's all it's about.
That's work.
Yeah, man. John's in the gym every day. You better believe it. He's squatting.
Oh, yeah.
John's in there. Dude, we were watching the game, the Michigan game, and John and Jim comes on after the game. And my wife was like, man, how many years older is he than John? I was like, no. John's older than him. And she was like,
John's the better looking one, too. I've heard from many of women that John is the looker of the brothers as well. Okay. That's what
I think. He simply takes better care of himself, too. Like, let's be honest.
That too. And look, you can't blame the schedule, because I'm pretty sure John's is just as rigorous. If
every day,
more.
5 a.m., he's in the gym 6 days a week.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, the other thing, too, before we get to this, dude, how awesome is it to be Jack and Jackie right now?
Dude, I mean, they've got to just be just so full of pride. It's got to be unbelievable. I mean, they have a chance to have, look, I don't want to jinx anything, but Natty Championship and a Super Bowl same year?
Insane.
So Jim can't lose to his brother in this one, right?
Yeah, dude. That's right, man. Shoot, you can't beat him.
And he beat Saban. Like, he didn't get the easy walk. He beat Saban.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to give the guy credit.
That play call was.
Yeah.
That snap was terrible, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, hey, I want to follow up on what else makes this team different than the 2019 team, because I keep hearing the haters turn to that as well. So I want to address a little bit of that. But Todd Heap says, if sitting players leads to rust, why seek the bye that the number one seed brings? Why would sitting someone next weekend result in rust? But you fight to get the next weekend off as a number one seed. Yeah, I think it's more so fans just getting nervous because the Ravens haven't fared well in their history as the number one seed. Both times they got knocked out early, both times failing to secure the AFC championship in Baltimore. So I think it's just fans looking, but again, it means nothing. Those are different teams, different scenarios. Everything's different. So No, I think Cole was right by saying, what do the players say? And listen to the Kelce podcast. I listened to the same clip. They want that number one seed. They need that number one seed this time of year.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I will say that it is the most difficult part, you know, holding an athlete back, right? Instead of asking them to push harder, much harder to say, hey, like pull back, right? So it's a difficult thing to do, especially this time of year. But you know, keeping your eye on the prize is what's most important here, and certainly number one seed is coveted for a reason, because not only do you get, I think you get the extra opportunity to have mental preparation, focus on your strategy, focus on your game plan, allow Monken a little more time to, you know, draw from the well, if you will. And, you know, and other things, and McDonald in there, you know, drawing things up defensively and getting in the lab. So it benefits them in so many ways outside of rest, right? It doesn't even stop there. Right. I'm looking forward to it.
How sweet would it be to beat the Steelers, knock them out with a bunch of backups in there? That would be, I mean,
isn't that what we did in 19? Didn't we also knock them out? They had a chance there, right?
Yeah, I think they may have needed a lot, not just the win, I think they did have some mathematical chance. But let's see. Don C says, I think Watt and Fitzpatrick are headhunters. I'm worried about them taking cheap shots. I don't know what the health status is of Fitzpatrick. He might be out there, but yeah, certainly don't want them facing Watt. Not just the fact that they're headhunters, but just the fact that Watt's a very good player who's going to play very hard this weekend trying to get his team in the playoffs. And I don't want any of our linemen being trapped in what could be a roll-up or you just never know. So I'm with you, Don. I don't want to see it. But
plus, I'm Team JJ anyway.
That's right.
He's a better football player.
Yeah, seems more likable too. But let's
get to this one real quick, and then we'll get to the next topic here. Eli Hoff says, can we get a stupid reporter say something before the divisional game and the championship game? Because it seems like when they do, we win. It absolutely does.
Should we say something stupid just to guarantee it?
No, because we're true ride or die guys, right?
I know, but we might have to do some acting. And, dude, I still have that shit. I got that horrible Orlando Brown jersey somewhere. I think underneath the cabinet behind me, I can slap that thing on and make up some BS. And that, you know, you never know.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it comes down to it, but trust you, me, somebody's going to say something stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody's going to say something stupid. So don't worry about Eli. They'll have plenty of fuel in the fire. And look, at the end of the day, the fuel in the fire is still 19, is still, you know, your own self-potential, is still all the inner motivation that you have, is still the dream as a five-year-old. Like, those are the things that really, at least in my opinion, probably get you going more than anything. This stuff is just a cherry on top. So believe you me, there will be plenty of firewood.
Plenty of motivation.
Yeah, ready to go. Sorry, Glenn, you're kind of wanting to transition to something else.
Because, you know, a lot of the haters, the Ravens haters have said, well, look, this is just like in 19. What's going to be any different? You were blowing teams out that year. You're doing it this year. And what happened? You came up short in the playoffs. Well, and they said, look, that defense was really good too. But Jimbo, I just want to point out just how good this defense is. This defense is, while 19's was good, this defense is unbelievable. So, not even the 2000 defense was able to accomplish this feat, Jimbo. They led the league in points allowed, which 2000 did as well. In fact, that's the NFL record still. But they also led the league in total sacks and turnovers forced, which to me, those are the three most important things you can do on defense. You can get sacks, which absolutely kill drives, turnovers, which literally end drives, and stop your opponents from getting in the end zone. I mean, yards to me, well, I mean, the Ravens are fourth in yards, but yards to me is one of the more overrated stats you know, that for a defense, because it doesn't matter what they do between the 20s. It only matters if you stop them from scoring points, yep. if you force them off the field with turnovers, and of course stop their drives with sacks. So the fact that they're number one in points, they're also number one in rushing touchdowns allowed, in passing touchdowns allowed, they're number one in red zone touchdowns, they're number one. They're number one in sacks. They're number one in turnovers. I mean, they're just number one in every meaningful defensive statistical category. They're number one. So while that defense in 2019 was good, this defense is historically good, Jimbo. And you complement that with an offense. I think we can all agree an offense is far more malleable than it was in 19. Like, this offense can win any game you need it to win, Jimbo. We've said it all year. They keep wanting a complete win. They want a complete offensive performance. We've done it all year. It's just been a different way at each game. And I think that really speaks to the versatility of what we can do offensively. Jimbo, do you think, like, at all that this team is going to – it has the potential to kind of fall short in the way that they did in 2019? Like,
no, I don't, and you kind of talked about this, but the biggest thing is everyone keeps talking about just the stats, specifically to Lamar Jackson winning the MVP, right? The stats this, the stats that, blah, 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 which everybody with a functioning brain knows that that is a portion of your analysis when you're deciding the MVP. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple. It doesn't get any more tricky than that. But if you look at Lamar Jackson's performance and what was needed from Lamar Jackson in 19, in comparison to what has been needed from him in games this year, there's been games where he hasn't thrown a touchdown and we dominate.
Dude, he had seven passing touchdowns in 2 months combined.
Right. So to me, the fact that we've been able to do that with Lamar kind of laying dormant to a certain extent in comparison to, like,
moments where he's the game manager for moments.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's still in the booth. He doesn't need to get his Superman suit on. He doesn't need to do any of that, right? He doesn't need to bring it for every single game. And, you know, if you think about, I think this was in 20, actually, but you remember the Titans rematch in the playoffs, ones where we beat him? Mm-hmm. The way that Lamar ran and Beyer didn't even touch him when he ran for that, you know, he just right past him, ran for the end zone. That was Superman Lamar Jackson going at it full throttle with all he's got. And he had to do that 19 all year. And shout out to Lamar Jackson, he did it. And he got the flowers for doing it. But I think that because of that, that was one of the reasons why it's like, you know, if you cut the head of the dragon off, well, then you're good, right? Well, what if you got a three-headed dragon now type thing, right? Like, now there's all these different ways that we can beat you. And so I think it just gets that much more daunting. It's not just the weapons around him. It's not just the defense. It's Lamar's maturation as a player. It's the improved play calling. It's the improved defense. There's so many reasons why this team is, I think, much more prepared than 19 to deal with adversity as a team. And certainly one punch to the, you know, one moment of concern is not going to break this team down like I think it might have in 19. We've seen them even grow this year from the beginning of the season to now in that way. So I think I'm not concerned about it. In 19, I was absolutely waiting for the shoe to drop every single week, right? Because we weren't used to winning like this. We'd never experienced anything like this here in Baltimore, right? What it is this year is just sheer dominance. We're just better. It is what it is.
I don't really have much of a, I mean, I will say that every team in the playoffs obviously is a good team. So there's certainly going to always be a potential that the Ravens could lose. But I don't go into it looking like, man, you still got to beat this guy. You know, you still got to beat this team in order to show. Like, I don't see a team where I look at, well, we still got to get past these guys. Right. Like, and again, they could beat anybody in the playoffs certainly has the capability to beat anyone. But I just feel supremely confident.
We are the gatekeepers, dude. They got to come through us, you know?
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
We are Fort Henry, dude. Bring it.
Yeah, that's right. It's coming through us. I love to see it. Jimbo, last question I have for you when it comes to you know, kind of prepping for this playoffs. We talked about Justin Houston. He's still trying to get onto an NFL roster, but now another guy added to the list. Dalvin Cook released and open to sign with any playoff roster. Did you see enough out of Justice Hill, Melvin Gordon, and Gus Edwards to say we don't need this guy?
Yeah, I don't. I think I. Yeah, the short answer is yeah. The other part of the equation is a lot of people forget when you sign a guy, he comes to your active roster, that means you inevitably got to take someone off. So unless it's as simple as people wanting to remove Melvin Gordon, yeah. right, and putting Dalvin Cook in there, then you're having to go to another position group. I don't want it. Our corners,
right,
from top to bottom, I don't want any of them off the active because who knows who's going to be out there, right? Guys have been in and out. Guys have been nicked. We need all the corners we can get. You go to safety, same thing. So where else are you going? Your O-line? No, thank you. Plenty nicked as well. So I just don't know that there's a spot where we can just go.
Maybe it would be Melvin Gordon back to the practice squad. That's
it could, but do we feel like he's going to do more than Melvin?
That's the question.
You know what I mean? So unless you really are that convinced that he's just all of a sudden going to pop on the scene and do that much more than Melvin Gordon, then it just doesn't make much sense to me. And, I mean, I don't know how much this matters, but Melvin Gordon has been grinding, has been working hard. I'm sure he's a great teammate. I'm sure guys love him. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not for it. I'm okay. He seems like a little bit of a guy that we don't need in the locker room right now. That's how I'm going to put it.
Okay.
I'm not going to give it a label, but he just doesn't seem like a guy I need in the locker room. I would want in the locker room right now. What about you? I mean, do you disagree there?
No, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I think what we have from Melvin Gordon is a guy who understands his role, is embracing that role and really making the most of it from what we've seen so far. Dalvin Cook, to this point, is, I mean, he's a clear, I mean, he was basically benched by the Jets. Bryce Hall was given the full workload, the workhorse. And it's not like Dalvin Cook has looked like he had in years past. He's averaging 3.2 yards per carry. So, yeah, I don't know what else he really brings. If you want to add him to the practice squad as an insurance pickup, I guess, in case there was another injury to the position, I'd be okay with that. But I don't want a guy who's coming in and he's going to start lobbying for carries or thinking he's better than this guy or better than that guy. I don't want anything to disrupt the roster. And unless he's okay with coming in and being just literally a practice squad emergency backup running back, then I have no interest in him. So, I agree with you. Just wanted to make sure we were on the same page here. Or if I was
now, Justin Houston, I got to be honest, I'm more tempted. Okay. Now, our pass rush is it's funny because that was a concern going out, and it was a huge concern of mine going into the season. It's all of a sudden turned into a strength.
Right.
I think we got something like 16 and a half or 17 sacks out of Clowney and Van Noy combined.
They're both one away from setting a record, or Van Noy might have already set his own personal record.
Yeah. And Clowney's getting close to double digits. So,
He's one away from his personal record. Yeah.
Right. Unheard of stuff here from guys we've just simply brought in. And Van Noy, of course, has broke a record with, he didn't even play till week 4 or 5. So, where they're doing great stuff. But I am still interested. If I had to choose, like if one guy had to be on the team, I don't feel a urge to get either, but I would be more inclined to kick the tires on Justin Houston than I would Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
More familiar with the team, more familiar with the defense, all those things, right?
Yeah, we know he won't disrupt the locker room. If anything, he would just add to it the way he coaches the young guys up and the respect he gets. Yeah. And it's a shame too, because I would have normally said, Tavius Robinson would be the obvious guy. He could take some snaps from him, but I've really liked what I've seen from him. Yeah. I mean,
how athletic is this kid?
Well, and also he showed some real smarts and discipline on the bootleg where they tried to get him and he stayed put, ran down, and really made the play. So
only the discipline, but the ability. How many people are able to cut off
rope? The change of direction.
Tyreek Hill, even if you take the right angle, all he does is outrun the angle. And he was athletic enough to get there. Not only just, like you said, have the presence of mind, but to actually be able to do it.
Yep.
Holy crap. This kid is an athlete.
And he's so young, man. He's a Canadian football player. Like, again, this isn't like he came out of Texas. He came out in a place where it's not necessarily pushed to play football. So you got to give this guy a little bit more room. Having said that, adding the pass rush of Justin Houston and maybe snatching a couple away, I wouldn't be necessarily opposed to it, especially knowing he's in shape. Doomgoy94 says Lamar's going to have a statue next to Ray or Johnny U.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's still got a lot to add to his resume in order to get to statue status when it's really only.
I mean, but two MVPs by the time he's 27 is pretty impressive already.
You add a Super Bowl to it and a Super Bowl MVP, then yeah, you're certainly getting closer and that might be all you need. I mean, who knows?
Honestly.
But I mean, he's got a chance to be. I mean, it's like John said, like when he was first here, the first year, he said, you know how many kids are going to be running around in the backyard going, I'm Lamar Jackson this time. Like, I remember being a kid going, I'm Griffey, you know, with the wiffle ball in my hand, a wiffle ball bat in my hand. I was Griffey trying to look like him, you know. Mm-hmm. People are doing that with Lamar. Like, he's got a chance to be just an absolute legend here, just like Ray, just like Johnny U. No doubt about it. Let's see here. Don C. Oh, why did I do it? Jimbo, just slap my hand. Just slap my hand right off my computer. I don't know why I touched it. What's Don C have to say?
Yeah, here? He says, I was worried about us getting the first seed because 2019 PSD, but man, this team looks different. Lamar has resting biatch face at every interview. We have leaders on both sides of the ball. Let's go. Yeah, Don, and I would say I think it's just, yeah, he's just trying not to get too high, trying not to get too low. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. got some serious focus, tunnel vision going on here. And I'm with you, Don. I think that has faded away for me as well as for you. So don't worry about it. We got this thing and be happy for the rest and look forward to the extra time off for team to strategize and go on and dominate the divisional game. So yeah, no worries, Don. We appreciate the super chat, but fear not, my friend. One thing I do want to do, I know we're coming on the end of the show and we got to get to our competition, but I do want to spend a few minutes briefly getting into the playoff picture, right? Because now we are getting an idea as to what's happening. And so I do have a tab that I want to share here. Let me just share. Yeah. I want to share screen real quick just to spend a little bit of time and kind of talk about this. Cause this is what it's all about right now. You know, the Ravens can't look ahead, but we can look ahead. Mm-hmm. So that's what we'll do. I'm going to zoom out here a second. So hopefully we can see a little more. Is that zooming out on the screen or is that now too small? Is that okay?
A little too small.
A little too small?
Yeah, a little tighter.
Okay. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. Now just scroll. There you go.
Okay, so you can see the teams that are in for sure. Mm-hmm. And then you can see the teams that are in the hunt, right? So you have, there are two available playoff spots in the NFC, and there are three in the AFC. So obviously we're more worried about the AFC.
Yeah, it's who cares about the NFC.
Right, and so one through three are set.
Okay. Oh, well, hold on. I don't think 1 through 3. I believe the Dolphins lose to
the
Bills.
Right. What am I thinking? You're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. Because, yes, you're right. So, and then you can see down here, the in the hunt category has the probabilities of making the playoff. So the lowest probability AFC team, you know, as far as guys that are in the hunt, we haven't gone down to in the bubble, is the Colts at 54%. But so I think the Dolphins lose. I think they're going to lose to the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they lose to the Bills, they've locked a playoff spot. See, this is what they'll be 11-6 week 17 against the Jets. Didn't the Browns just play the Jets?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Cause we're going into week 18, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. See, I was tripping there. So look, I wish this had the stinking, you remember the plug and play we used to be able to use?
Yeah. I don't know what happened to that.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, they have tie-breaking procedures, all that stuff, whatever. But I guess what I want to get into is there's three available playoff spots. Who do you think the lowest available seed is going to be by the end of the day? You know, that's going to come to Baltimore. If you had to make a way too early prediction.
Oh, man. Well, here's what I think is going to happen. I think the Bills are going to beat the Dolphins this weekend.
Which yeah, me
means
too.
They're gonna take over the number two seed, and I think the Dolphins drop to the top non-division winning seed. So that puts them at fifth. Then we'll have would it? See, I guess the question is if the Browns win.
They lose, right, then they're going to move up to two.
Okay, so then Dolphins.
That we know for sure, because they'll be the only other team. They'll be have 12 wins.
No. They cannot go to two because they're not a division winner. So the best they can be is five. Oh, shoot, so they'll stay at five. The Dolphins will drop to six, and then the winner will be between the Colts and Houston to be the final spot. Now if the Texans win, okay, they have the tiebreaker over the Pittsburgh, and also Indy has a tiebreaker over Pittsburgh. Okay, so yep. Pittsburgh needs a lot. They need, I don't know how they're gonna win because Indy and the Texans play against each other. So there's, I don't know. There has to be some avenue where the Steelers get
a tie.
In. Is that it?
I don't know. I mean, it's the only one that would make sense in my mind.
Yeah, I think they might need that because I'm looking at ESPN. It says Indy wins tiebreaker over Pittsburgh based on head-to-head win percentage. So they beat them. And then it says Houston wins tiebreaker over Pittsburgh based on head-to-head win percentage. So they beat them. So I don't know what – I guess they have to tie. So I think we would have the opportunity – let's see. So that would mean then either the Colts or the Texans are going to be playing the Bills in Buffalo.
Because what you're saying is the Bills would bounce up to two, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yep. Yeah, they would. Man, they have –
dude, the Bills can be in 2, 6, 7, or out.
That's insane.
They could be the 2 seed or they could be out of the playoffs.
That is just crazy to me.
If everything goes completely sideways for them this weekend. So it really is insane. But the way I'm looking at it is the Bills are going to be playing the winner of the South in the first round. The Chiefs are going to be playing the Cleveland Browns, right? Is that how that would work? Or the Dolphins. Yeah, the Dolphins. They'll be playing the Dolphins, and the Jags will be playing the Browns. Okay, Jags, Browns, Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, winner of the South will be the matchup. So in that scenario, do you see the Bills losing to either the Colts or the Texans? Any chance?
No
chance.
I mean, I see the Texans more likely than the Colts.
Okay, so if they have no chance, then what you're saying is the Ravens are going to have to play the winner of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cleveland Browns, or if by some miracle the Dolphins can beat the Chiefs, then we'll be playing the Dolphins again in Baltimore.
And look, that could happen. Oh, look at that. You guys, see, I'm still over here on the other screen trying to swipe up and down. You guys unchanged the screen on me. Getting fancy with it. Nice. Thank you, DK. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm looking at just ESPN has a nice little breakdown of some tiebreakers, but.
Yeah.
How good would you feel to know that the damn Dolphins are coming back into Baltimore for the division round? Holy!
Yeah, because they have no answers. Dude. I don't care what anyone says. They have no answers for us.
They would be peeing down their leg. Vic Fangio would be scared to death.
Yeah, 100%. I'd be happily bring them back into Baltimore. So,
I don't want to play the Browns. I'd much rather play the Dolphins. Much rather.
Yeah. And so, I mean, look. That Titans team, look, you got to give credit where credit is due. That 2019 Titans team went all the way to the AFC Championship game. They had a solid defense and they had a run game.
Did they ever?
Right? I mean, at that point.
Tannehill had the greatest season of his career, played well above his actual skill level. If you look at those numbers, dude, he had a crazy year that year.
Yeah, if Lamar wasn't the MVP, certainly everyone would have been talking about Ryan Tannehill. Not everyone, but a lot of people. He would have been. Lamar was just so overwhelmingly out ahead of everyone. But yeah, you're absolutely right there. Man, yeah, but any of the scenarios, honestly, none of these scenarios get me nervous. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins, they, like you said, I don't know if it's that much of a, it'd be that much of a stretch. They just beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs, they seem like they're limping these days.
Yeah, no.
Kelsey looks old, preoccupied, uninterested.
Their other receivers cannot catch a cold.
No. Who's the rookie Rice, the dude on Fox, tried to say that he's better than Zay Flowers? What an idiot.
The only rookie receiver, I don't care what JSN's done.
Yeah.
The only one that can say anything to Zay Flowers, and he can say a whole lot, is Puka Nacua. Because that dude broke so many damn records. He's the only receiver, and I'll still take Zay. I want Zay. I don't care what Puka's done, but he's the only one that can say anything, and he can say whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, agreed.
By the way, the most clear avenue for the Steelers is actually, I wasn't looking. Jacksonville currently is the leader of the division at 9-7, and the Colts and Texans are also at 9-7, tied. So if Jacksonville loses and Pittsburgh wins, then they jump up because then Jacksonville plummets out of the division lead all the way down to maybe even out of the playoffs, the playoffs. Or maybe the last, like, it's crazy, man. This AFC is absolutely wild. You're not lying. I mean, holy smokes. But you know what? We got to give a little credit, Jimbo. I know it's our rival, but gosh darn, the Steelers just find a freaking way, don't they?
Yeah, with all the drama, all the quarterback changes, all the receivers giving up on everything. Man, they just can't draft a quarterback.
It's crazy. I thought they were done, dude. You look up, they're freaking 9-7. They're going to have another winning season.
Yeah.
They're 4-1 in the division, Jimbo, and potentially going 5-1, depending on what roster the Ravens run out there.
Yeah, and way too early prediction. You know what's crazy? Tyler Huntley, I could totally see them bringing him in this offseason.
Yeah, I get. I mean, I just to shake it up. They have. You know what? I wouldn't be. What about Russ?
Yeah, or Russell Wilson.
What about Russ, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, he's looking for a home.
Yeah, no, that's another good. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Steelers, and it'll be fun to talk about. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this upcoming week to kind of see things things shake out. DK is also saying Sam Howell could be another one in the mix. I don't know what's going to happen there with him. But yeah, he's certainly made himself some money this season. Going to be a lot that goes on in the playoffs that's going to get us all intrigued, and make sure you're tuned in. Of course, we're going to be here Friday. We got to talk about our competition really quick, but obviously you guys know we'll be here Friday prepping you for the game, getting you ready. We do have to get into the results, both show and viewer results of the competition this week to know who gets some swag. That way we can get it out to you guys. So, Glenn, actually, you know what? Before we do, let's give a quick shout out to our patrons. We have two new patrons, so we want to give them a shout out. Hardly home, but always repping. Huge shout out for being a new patron. And Living Legend is back in the building. He has also he's also one of our patrons who
thank you very much.
Shout out. And then also our free patrons who are still showing support. And we appreciate all of it. Eric Banks, Pat, Talal, Adhafiri. Thank you so much.
Dude, you just said that name like what looks to be pretty perfect. Like you've seen it a million times.
I haven't. Thank you. I appreciate that. But look, that was my best shot. And I also want to say shout out to James, not myself. James saw him at Pure Raw Juice, told him I'd give him a shout out the other morning. He was like, "Are you James from 410 Sports Talk?" I was like, "That I am, my friend." And so we chatted for a little bit. He's excited about the playoffs.
Did he tell you he was also a huge fan of the People's Champ, Glenn, and roots for me every week from the competition?
No, he actually didn't. I don't think he mentioned your name once.
Not once, huh? That's weird. That's weird, dude. I didn't want to hurt your feelings, Jimbo.
Yeah, it's probably. He was so in awe by meeting me that he just didn't know what to say. Yeah. No, James, of course, we appreciate the support. Just three goofballs here talking about the Ravens. So thank you so much. But without any further ado, let's get into the competition. And our competition, of course, is brought to you by BetUS. Can't forget about our faithful partners over at BetUS. Make sure you guys go check them out. They're great to us. They'll be great to you. You get a match up to 125% at up to $2,500, dollar for dollar plus some, because 125%. So go check them out. Use the promo code.
I'd take the points, bro. I'd take the Ravens and the points this weekend.
Take it. Take it and make yourself some money. I agree with you there, Glenn. So go check it out. Make sure you use the promo code 410 or use the link in the description that DK has so graciously placed within there. But all right, let's get into it, DK.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Over under, number one, Lamar Jackson passing yard 250. Over.
And you know what? I remember telling you both how disappointed I was in you guys both taking the under here, despite the fact that the Dolphins have been absolutely shredded through the air in all of their losses. But you should have listened to me and you didn't. Cost you on that one. Moving on to the next one. And this one, I tell you what. We were both wrong about this one, Jimbo. Rashad Bateman targets 4.5. I said I had to see it to believe it.
Yep.
And they showed us, Jimbo. They showed us.
Called it. That was his breakout player of the game.
Yeah, DK nailed this one. I mean, I think he set us up with this one because we both smashed the under. And he knew something we didn't know.
You know? Got that inside information. Him and Rashad are hanging out on the weekends, dude.
That's exactly him right.
And Kyle Kuzma and OBJ.
Dude, Fed Hill hitting the bars. You never know with these guys. So we were wrong. DK was right about that one. Moving on to our first of the defensive over-unders. Ravens tackles for loss, 4.5. This was a layup for me. I mean, honestly, I know it was only half, only one by half. But I thought I was going to smash this one, Jimbo. I thought this was going to be a slam dunk. But the only one to correctly predict, of course, was the People's Champ. Shout out.
Oh, gosh. And what we got for the next one? Tyreek Hill receiving yards. 76, of course, was the number. Now the over under was 105.5. I went over here because Waddle was out, so I thought he would just get a million passes.
Didn't I tell you too about this one?
Yeah, you did.
All four of their losses. He went under 90.
So without going to the tiebreakers, we will go to the tiebreakers, but Glenn has already won this week, which ties us up 6-6. It'll be a fun game going into the last week of the season. But let's get into two tiebreakers for any other scenarios and folks out there who are playing along with us. And of course, you can participate in this competition. All viewers are available to do so using the handle, any of the handles above Glenn's head or in the comment section of the video, of the preview video. Just go ahead and submit your answers in the comment section and we will let you know who the winner it is. And the winner, of course, gets a nice piece of 410 Sports Talk. So swag.
Yep.
So total score 46.5 was the line over under. Of course, it went over at 75. The Ravens did the majority of that. All right. What's the next one?
Yeah, they broke it by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Second tiebreaker, total yards to the Ravens, closest to the pin. I think I got this one right.
Yeah,
man. The only one I got right today. That this week, 491, and I wasn't even that close.
This looked like DK's guess at week one.
Yeah, exactly. 5,000. Lamar's gonna hit 6,000 yards week one. Yeah, no, for sure. 491. Shout out to the Ravens. Wait, I got one, didn't I?
Bruh.
Wait, DK, you're killing me here.
Under, hold on. Under, you got them all wrong. You got over four. How dare you question DK's math? How dare you?
All right, put up the graphic, DK. Glenny, make it an interesting.
Hey now. Glenny boy. Hey now. Let's see it. Oh, I was waiting for the music. All right, fine. All I know is, Jimbo, I might be a little behind you in total score accuracy. If this week, if I win, yep, I'll likely pass you in all of those categories.
This is true. You got to win it. But this still is true.
I still do. Yeah. DK is officially out of it. But if he wins, then I guess you would win on tiebreakers, right? Well, actually, we have to find out the total score and accuracy. Even up in the air. Okay.
That's right.
Make him do some math if he wins it. But I'm just going to win it. That way, DK doesn't have to worry, you know?
Hey, let's go. I'm excited for it. All the chips are on the table. Yes, but I think that's it for us for tonight, folks. We will be here, of course, Friday night to get you all prepped for this game. Talk about additional playoffs.
Saturday game, guys. Don't forget.
That's true. Yeah. Jeez whiz. I'm glad you reminded me.
Yeah.
What's that, DK? He's holding up his.
Oh, the fan second. Winner.
Oh, yeah. Duh. The most important thing of all. That's why we're all here.
Hey,
got a new one this week, DK?
Let's see what we got here. Oh, it is. And he
faithful.
He called it. He said, he said, I had to win this week. He said, I had to have.
Shout out Edwin Nevado. Right. Edwin has not won this year, but he's won before, right, DK?
I think
he's won before.
I think he's just a con. We see his name so much. He runs a, he's an admin on one of the Facebook groups we're a part of. Yeah. Super active, certainly gives his opinion on everything. But, yeah, man, that's pretty cool to see Edwin get.
Oh,
the
wow.
Win.
There were a lot of 4-for-4 this week, and I was 0-for-4. Oh, gosh. There were a lot of 4-for-4, and it looks like so. He came down to tiebreakers for Edwin. He got both tiebreakers right, was the most accurate there. So shout out to Edwin. Beat the pants off of all of us.
That's right.
That's awesome. Shout out to you, man. But
I know he's not in the chat today, but I'm sure he'll catch us up when he watches it. So don't forget, Edwin, the way you can let us know, just give us your shirt size, address. I know we're friends on Facebook, so you can certainly just private message us there or on Twitter. That works as well. But yeah, shout out. Congratulations, Edwin.
Yes, sir. We'll be there on Friday, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.
See you.
Ah.